Hello, and welcome to the history of Haiti.
In the late 1870s, political parties began to develop in Haiti, specifically the Liberal and National parties. In this episode, I want to explain the development over the course of the presidencies of both Domingue and then Brice-Rond Senault, who I'll refer to as Senault. So I ended last episode with the electoral shenanigans that brought Michel Domingue to power. The reason that Nissage Sage had resorted to that was because, in the Haitian legislature, a new political party was forming, that of the Liberals. Despite its name, the Liberal Party was actually pretty conservative when compared to its rival, the National Party. It mostly consisted of wealthy, colored elites, including many like Brice-Rond Senault, with national name recognition. It found support in the urban areas, especially the southern peninsula, and had a strong base of support in the capital itself. The founding principle of the Liberal Party was, quote-unquote, government by the most competent. They believed that educated, colored elites should take over the Haitian government because they would be the best rulers. As for economics, they wanted financial reform and a more free market economy. Some even wanted to allow foreigners to own land, a practice which had been banned since independence. The leader of the Liberal Party was a guy named Jean-Pierre Boyer Bezalels, of no relation to Jean-Pierre Boyer. When Sage's term ended, the Liberals put forward a candidate for the presidency. The president was chosen by the national legislature, and since the Liberals had control of that, Sage had to find a way around the legislature to get Domingue elected. He had a number of representatives loyal to himself abstain from this legislature, and then declared it dissolved because of this. He then appointed Domingue president. This illegitimate election fueled Liberal anger at Domingue, and soon several Liberals began planning a revolt. Michel Domingue, as it turned out, was not a great pick for president. He was a military man, and so he left most of the real governance up to his nephew. His nephew was an even worse choice, being heavily corrupt, dictatorial, and hated by the people. He did not do much with his presidency. He attempted some infrastructural reforms, like building lighthouses and railroads, but these lacked funding. This included a project to make a national bank, which collapsed. He also tried to make the government a bigger part of the economy, a project which failed and angered many. To pay for his ideas, Domingue took out a massive loan on terrible terms, which turned out to be near unpayable. What made this worse was that a huge chunk of the loan was then embezzled. This extreme financial mismanagement, coupled with high taxes and government control of the economy, turned the Haitian people against him. So Senault, alongside two other Liberal leaders, began conspiring for a coup. When Domingue, or more accurately his nephew, found out, he sent a regiment of soldiers to arrest all three of these guys. For the other two Liberals, they fought back, but were killed by soldiers. Brice-Rond Senault, hearing about this, and hearing that a regiment of soldiers was coming to arrest him, got a few family members and neighbors to arm themselves, and when the soldiers showed up, he was successfully able to repulse the attack. Knowing that he would not be able to withstand further attacks, Senault fled with a few other guys to the American consulate, where he sought asylum. For the next 5 months, the American consulate was surrounded by soldiers, while the Americans and Haitians negotiated. This ended with Senault and a group of Liberal friends going into exile in Jamaica.
From this base in Jamaica, Senault reorganized a faction of the Liberal Party around himself, creating a schism between these members of the Liberal Party and the real Liberals that had stayed in Port-au-Prince with Boyer Bezalels. The killing of two liberals and the attempted killing of Sanel made Domingue and his nephew look even worse in the eyes of the public, and by extension made Sanel look like a hero. In March of 1876, in the port city of Jacmel, a general rose in revolt against the government. This revolt spread to other parts of the country, including the northern city of Cap-Haïtien. At this, Sanel and his liberals got on a ship and attempted to return to Haiti, but they were defeated and sent packing by forces loyal to Domingue. They would, however, soon return. In Port-au-Prince, seeing the writing on the wall, Domingue's nephew loaded up several trunks with cash and moved towards the port in an attempt to flee the country. But he was cornered and killed by rioting civilians. Domingue himself went into exile shortly thereafter. Sanel and his group of liberals returned to Port-au-Prince soon after the fall of Domingue. He, in fact, managed to take over the provisional government. But the schism between the Domingue liberals and the Bazalés liberals had grown wider. The question was now who would become the next president, Bazalés or Sanel. The National Legislature, or the House of Representatives, had been called, and it was now their decision to elect the next president. Bazalés was regarded as by far the better and more competent of the two candidates. So to secure his election, Canal resorted to other tactics. He began heavily bribing representatives to secure their votes. He also got support from the military, specifically from the general who had revolted in Jacmel. When the day of the vote came, Sanel won 60-30, with 5 voting for other candidates. After this, Bazalés and his liberals refused to participate in the administration of Sanel and formed an opposition within the legislature. To counter the Bazalés liberals in the legislature, Sanel turned to the other political party, one which was now beginning to form, the National Party. The National Party was the counter to the Liberal Party. Where the Liberal Party was colored, rich, and urban, the National Party was black and rural. It drew support from the rural elites and the peasantry, as well as the working class of Port-au-Prince. Members of the National Party included guys who had supported Domingue. And if you go way back, Salouk. Whereas liberals believed in free markets and economic liberalization, the National Party believed in economic nationalism. Their response to the liberal slogan of government by the most competent was their utilitarian slogan of the greatest good for the greatest number. The idea that the common people had to be brought into power more. But both the Liberal and National parties shared some ideas in common. Both parties wanted more democracy and more participation in government. Their attitudes towards democracy and solving disputes through votes rather than war would make professor and scholar Michel Rolf Trillo say that this period is the closest Haiti came to a real parliamentary government. To return to the National Party, the man who really represents where the National Party was coming from and the person who would become their leader was a man named Lysias Salomon. Lysias Salomon came from a powerful family of black elites based in the city of Lacaille. During the Haitian Revolution, Salomon's uncle had been elected to the French Directory and had had relationships with Suthinot and Dessalines. Born in 1810, Salomon grew up under Pétion and Boyer. Being in the wealthy elite, he was able to get both a primary and secondary education. Standing at a whopping 6.5 feet tall, and with, as one American magazine described it, the physical proportions of a gladiator, Salomon managed to cut quite a character. He had style, he was clever and smart. And he was very well educated, especially with regards to politics. He believed that the black people had been shunned and held in contempt by the colored elite, and that they needed a revolution to break the social chains that bound them. His huge stature also had the effect of making him scary to some who met him, and he himself could be a very paranoid person, which did not help. Solomon's passion before he went fully into politics was finance. He joined the financial administration of his home city of Lakai and got a huge break in the instability of the mid-1840s. He and his father launched a revolt against Herard, fighting mostly against local colored elites, but it was put down and he was exiled. However, when Solomon returned and was soon made a senator, before becoming the Minister of Finance under Emperor Seleuc. Upon Seleuc's fall, however, Solomon was sent into exile in Europe for the next 17 years. When Domingue was overthrown, Solomon believed it was safe to return to Haiti. Upon his return, he was popular, and in fact, so popular that Sanaa sent him into exile again, but allowed him to return a few months later. Here, he became known among the National Party. Solomon was exactly the kind of strong black leader that the National Party wanted. Even less than Domingue, Brizeran Senel did not really do a lot with his presidency. He did almost nothing to improve the economy or the political situation. All he really cared about was trying to hold on to power. When a cyclone hit the southern peninsula, causing immense destruction, the government response was pretty lackluster. And so much of the misery caused by this was soon turned against the government. Sanaa was also not the most democratic of the politicians floating around, as shown by his emergence to power through the means of bribery and militarism. This turned many people against him. Soon, Solomon and the general from Jacmel, in the spring of 1878, began plotting a coup, but this failed and Solomon was once again forced into exile, but he left behind a large base of support eager for his return. While yes, Sanaa was allied to the National Party, they by no means were one and the same. The alliance existed solely on the idea that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and the same enemy in this case was Boyer Bezalel and his liberals. 1879 was an election year for the Haitian legislature, and it was a contest of popular support between the Liberal Party and the National Party, with Sanaa not playing a huge role. The result was a large victory for the National Party. The populism won out over the elite conservatism. The National Party got 45 seats, where the Liberal Party got only 23. Seeing this defeat at the ballot box, Boyer Bezalel and some of his allies turned to revolt as the way to overthrow Sanaa. Boyer Bezalel decided to create an incident with the House of Representatives. This worked, and it concluded with him getting kicked out of the House of Representatives after a stormy meeting in which shots were fired. He went to his home and then tried to launch a revolt with 200 armed supporters. After a small amount of death and casualties, it failed, and Boyer Bezalel fled to a foreign consulate seeking asylum, a thing which, if you haven't noticed, happens regularly. News of this revolt spread to other places. Well, yes, the National Party was like. Sanaa was not, and so many people, including liberals, were able to launch revolts. Gonaives revolted, and it spread to the Artibonite. Cap Haitien followed. These revolts, like the ones against Domingue, showed that the writing was on the wall for Sanaa. He resigned on July 17, 1879, setting the stage for the return of Solomon. So far, the fight between the Liberals and the Nationals had been pretty peaceful. Yeah, sure, there was an occasional revolt, coup, or shooting, but these were short and did not kill a lot of people. But the struggle between these two parties, between Salomon and Boye Bazalgette, would climax under Salomon's presidency, and this climax would not be bloodless.